Welcome back, all you beautiful spirits. That was Faith Rivera from her Suncatcher CD album, and I think we were listening to Come See Her Smile. Oh, for those just joining us, our show from 1 to 3 every Wednesday is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, 88.3 FM on your radio dial in Cincinnati, and also streaming online at WAIF883.org. I'm Louisa Dyer, a spiritual life coach and metaphysical minister with a master's degree in holistic psychology and 25 years clinical experience. I use muscle testing to know the truth and also communicate easily with your higher self. I read the Akashic Records and teach WOW processing and bliss work, two energy psychologies I co-created because my passion is helping people heal and grow. I work nationally by phone, 513-248-0069, with details online at louisadyer.com. I look forward to connecting with you. So we are doing something very different today and very exciting, and I'm very excited to have in the studio with me today Becky Hill and Nina Neighborhouse from Grailville, which is a spiritual retreat center that is near the Cincinnati area. So welcome, Nina. Welcome, Becky.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So nice to be here.
Oh, good. And you had no trouble finding the place?
No trouble at all. We both knew the neighborhood.
You know a lot more than I do in terms of this area. So we want to find out a little bit about what Grailville is and what Grailville offers. And so I'm just going to let you just give us sort of the big picture overview to begin with, and then we'll see what sort of questions we get into.
Great. Well, we are a retreat, education, and program center located on 300 acres, just a half a mile from downtown Loveland.
Wow.
So we're just outside of the 275 circle, and it's about a 40 to 45-minute drive from downtown Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
So we're very conveniently located, and yet when you come to our property, because we have the 300 acres,
right,
it really feels like you've gotten away. And we have people who visit us all the time who just spontaneously tell us that the minute they drive onto the property, they felt a sense of a deep breath.
Oh,
you know,
good.
And relaxation. So it's a very beautiful and a very special place. And we have a bunch of beautiful old historic buildings that we use to offer our own programs that we develop with our staff that are open to the public,
mm-hmm,
that center around our mission statement. And then we also rent out our buildings to like-minded groups who are offering seminars, workshops, trainings, retreats of all kinds, sometimes even events like family reunions or sometimes weddings, that sort of thing.
Right. Well, I heard there was just a friend of mine was involved in it, actually, that you had a big concert up there just recently with Carrie Newcomer.
Newcomer.
It took me a minute. Was that an exciting thing to put on?
It really was. It was a wonderful day. Carrie came out, and she lives not far from here. She's grounded out of Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh, really?
So she came over, and she offered for us a songwriting workshop in the afternoon, had about 35 to 40 participants, and then we offered one of our famous Sunday suppers.
Uh-huh.
We had just over 100 people for the Sunday supper, and then in the evening, Carrie put on a concert for us in our sacred space, which is called the Oratory, and it's a very special room, and she's a very special artist. She's very deeply grounded in her spirituality,
right.
So the concert that she brought to us was very much something that is, you know, just what we would be representing with our mission statement as well.
Right, yeah, I've heard some of her music. Her lyrics are really, they touch your heart.
Yeah.
They really get you, like, it's that breath you,
mm-hmm,
were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So when you say people drive onto the property and they sort of take that breath because they feel that that's a sacred space and they get that already,
mm-hmm,
so anybody can do that? Anybody can just come there and drive and walk around, and 300 acres seems like a lot.
300 acres is a lot, and it's actually more than that. A lot of it is a farm,
uh-huh,
so it has very rural atmosphere. We do have a herd of 50 cows.
Wow.
Grass-fed Dexters. And
so you sell grass-fed beef?
Actually, right now we're not. Well, it depends on when it's ready.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes we do. You have to call and check in for when we're ready to market.
Uh-huh.
But we also have 100 acres of our agricultural land is certified organic.
Wow.
We also run community supported agriculture there, which.
What does that mean, community supported agriculture?
Oh, Nina, maybe you can just want to give the background on that real quick.
We have a 6-acre garden plot that is leased to the EarthShare CSA, and CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture. That's where the members buy a share at the beginning of the year.
Oh, I've heard about this.
And then once a week on your designated pickup day, you come out and you pick up your very freshly harvested, all organic vegetables, absolutely fresh, absolutely delicious. And the nice part for any members who are, any people who are not members of the CSA is that whatever is a bumper crop, so if there's anything left over, it's for sale to the public in our little produce hut. Come onto the property, weigh it yourself, put the money in the jar. It's all fresh. It's all organic.
Oh, that is wonderful. 6-acre garden.
It's
That's
a 6-acre garden. It's a big garden plot. And in any given year, there's about 3 to 4 acres under cultivation, and some of it lays fallow every year for the healing of the land.
Right.
Grailville actually originated one of the first CSA programs in the greater Cincinnati area, and that was quite some time ago, and then it went through several incarnations, and at this point it spun off to be its own nonprofit, which again is EarthShares CSA, and their website is earthsharescsa.org.
Great. You know, I've heard about that in other places. In Asheville, which is where I'm from most recently, there were lots of places where you could buy shares and get like a basket full of vegetables on a regular basis, and that's what you're talking about. You don't actually have to go work the garden. You can just go pick up vegetables.
Well, the nice thing is that you do have the opportunity, if you want to purchase what's called a working share, which is that the amount of money that you pay for your membership is slightly reduced based on your pledge to work a certain number of hours over the growing season in the garden under the supervision of the organic gardener.
Super.
So you get to help out because, of course, they need the help. And in addition, you get to learn a little bit about organic gardening and make connections with other like-minded people who are also interested in what food can do for you in your life by paying attention to it and by understanding sustainable and organic growing practices and how that can help you not just as an individual or as a family, but what that means to the greater community and what it means to the life cycle on the planet to be instituting sustainable practices.
Well, see, I personally think that spirituality has everything to do with not only how we treat ourselves, but how we treat the earth, because we're part of the earth and the earth is part of us. And if we kill our environment, where are we going to live? It's like a really simple question. So is this a place that if somebody wanted to learn about organic gardening, that they could actually come and learn something?
Well, really, there are two opportunities at Grailville for that. One of them is the CSA, although I would say this. The CSA gardening is really about work. In other words, if you're brand new, you don't know anything about gardening, it may not be the very best way for you to plug in because when you've signed up for a work share, the gardener is really counting on you being able to accomplish a certain amount of work when you come because he has a schedule to keep in order to make sure that the vegetables are there for pickup.
Right.
So he's really counting on that help. So if someone is brand new to organic gardening and they would like to have an entree and just start to learn more about it, Grailville actually offers a series of garden volunteer days. In addition to the organic garden plot, the large one, the 6-acre one that we lease out to the CSA, we have another garden that's organic. It's called the kitchen garden, and it gives us the opportunity to offer our organic gardening garden volunteer days several times throughout the growing season, and that's a great way for people to who are new to plug in.
And we also produce organic produce then that we use in our kitchen and in our retreat center to serve to our guests that come regularly to our own programs as well as for the retreat center.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So how do people find out about these organic growing learning how to do that days?
Well, of course, our website would be the obvious place, grailville.org.
Can you spell that for people?
Sure. It's G-R-A-I-L-V-I-L-L-E, grailville.org. And the reason it's called Grailville is that we are a center in the United States for the Grail, which is an international movement of women in 17 countries around the world. And Grailville is one of two centers that are owned by the Grail in the United States. Our other center is in a town called Cornwall on Hudson. It's in New York State, about an hour and a half north of New York City. But we're the larger center in the United States for the Grail. And so thus our name, Grailville.
And so this Grail is obviously an international organization, and it's about spirituality, sustainability, and
really, we are
ecology.
A women's movement empowering women to work for world transformation.
Oh, hey, we're there.
Hey. It's sort of a major kind of a goal.
And yeah,
it's been
major.
In existence for a long time, since 1944 in the United States.
It?
It was actually started by a Jesuit priest in Holland probably in the 30s. Mm-hmm. A couple of Dutch women came to the United States right in 1944, and ended up first in Chicago, and then came and bought property in Loveland in 1944. And I can just give you a short background on that.
Yeah.
In that, originally, the Grail was a Catholic movement, has strong roots in the Catholic faith.
Right.
And the idea, this was Father Van Ginnigan, who was the founder, his idea was that the energy of women in the world was really not evidenced, and that it was really something that was needed.
Wow.
And especially energy of women coming out of a spiritual commitment.
Right.
So he was encouraging Catholic women to be active participants in the world as lay women. You didn't have to be a nun to be
right.
committed in a religious belief. And so everything started for the Grail out of that kind of a movement.
Wow, you know, that makes me think of the book Eckhart Tolle wrote, A New Earth, where he says in there so clearly that basically, what he winds up saying is that if the earth winds up not being imploding because of all the pollution and everything, it will be because of women's energy. That it's the feminine energy that knows easily how to love, that is more prone to be in balance rather than out of balance, because the ego doesn't rest so, it isn't seated so deep in the feminine form. Which I think it was a very interesting thing for a man to be writing about, and I thank you, Oprah, for promoting that all over the world.
I might could say, Louisa, that as members, we are committed to spiritual search of a wide variety, not just Catholic faith. At this point, we've
right.
become interfaith and, you know, Christian, then interfaith, ecumenical, now from a very pluralistic standpoint of also women who are sort of post-specific religious tradition. We're also committed to social justice, social transformation of the world to one that is promotes fairness and cooperation rather than competition and profits.
So is the Grail,
and we really are interested in promoting women's empowerment and the release of women's creative energies in the world.
And so does the Grail actually work for in something that you would call a justice in terms of the justice system, or is this more of a philosophy behind what the Grail is doing?
It's really more of a philosophy, and it's probably helpful to say that the Grail takes a different sort of, takes on its own form in each country and in each city.
I would imagine.
And so, for example, we are in 17 countries, so how the Grail is lived out in each country depends a lot on what's going on there, what are the issues, what are the social issues. Often Grail women are involved in what are the social justice issues in the current, at the current time. Just for example, I had the opportunity last September to go to South Africa, which is a country where the Grail is very much present.
Wow.
Every 5 years we have an International General Assembly. Delegates, at least two delegates from each country, get together and we talk about what our mission is and how we are living it in the world. And so I got to go to South Africa myself for 2 weeks, 3 weeks actually, last September. So I got to meet women from all over the world, which gives us sort of a unique global perspective on understanding what the social issues and justice issues are
right.
Throughout the world. And, you know, for example, like all of the apartheid issues, many people in the Grail were involved in working against apartheid and
right.
were very involved there. And just to hear their stories and learn from them was quite a revelation for me.
It's probably quite humbling as well.
Yes.
Well, you know, that's really exciting because that's this huge, huge picture, global sort of not only statement of mission, but it's a global picture of people. It's really that
and it's a global picture of what's needed in the world.
Yeah.
And I could tell you just slightly, I mean, about a program that we're going to be holding at Gravel in September 15th that is really on this issue. It's
okay.
called Awakening the Dreamer, Changing the Dream. And as a staff, we actually did the symposium ourselves yesterday and found it very inspiring.
Oh, good.
The idea of it is that it's really a transformative set of workshops in which it was a partnership that was put together by what's called the Pachamama Alliance.
Pachamama,
which is actually means Mother Nature.
Ah.
And it was a partnership between the indigenous people of Ecuador and some folks from Great Britain, I think, actually, who met with them. This was a dreamer culture. And is a dreamer culture, and they foresaw in their dreams that their homeland was going to be was being threatened, largely by oil exploration, as it turned out. And they decided they wanted to reach out to sort of the enemy and ask that this not happen. And so they formed a partnership with the people of the North and the people of the South to say, the earth needs to be protected. And so they formed this alliance so that people would learn that the dream of the modern world is somewhat of a trance.
Yeah.
The dream in the North, that sort of our industrialized way of life based on consumption and profits.
It's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable and is not good for any of us. It's definitely
right.
not good for the rainforest where they live.
Right.
And they were also informing us that it's not good for us either.
Right.
And so they formed this set of workshops to explain to people that what is needed on the earth is a human presence that is spiritually fulfilled, socially just,
and environmentally
sustainable. And so it's a really remarkable set of media presentations that actually include input from Thomas Berry, Brian Schwimm, lots of folks that are thinking about what does the planet need all over, and
right.
and helping us to understand that and come up with some solutions. At this point, the Awakening the Dreamer Symposium is now being experienced in 60 countries and 13 languages.
That is so exciting.
It's extremely exciting, and we are very excited at Greville to be offering it to the public. That will be on September the 15th.
Is it a one-day
thing? It's a one-day, 9:30 to 2:30. You need to call Grailville to sign up for it.
Uh-huh.
And we're just hoping lots of people will come, and we can also build together on how Grailville can be part of all the solutions, too.
Right. Well, you know, that was one of the things when I was thinking about talking to you, too, was wanting to know, like, okay, the history's interesting, but I really want to know what's up for right now. But even more, I wanted to know, and how do you see yourself going forward? Because where the Earth is, where we are now as species on our planet, is so very different than where we were even 10 years ago, much less 50 years ago when they set this up. And so how do you see yourself making sort of the transition that's needed to continue to be relevant? And that, what you're just talking about, really sort of answers that question, because I would imagine if you're going to have this symposium, it doesn't just end at 2:30.
No, it doesn't end at 2:30, and it's really about individuals making commitments themselves,
right.
and also exploring with each other, what can we do as a community, what can we do in Loveland, what can we do in Cincinnati? How are we all part of the solution?
And is that part of Grailville's mission, then, is to further, in whatever way you can, that ongoing action, that ongoing conversation and action?
Yeah, I think very much Grailville is kind of a microcosm, macrocosm place.
Right.
On the microcosm level, as I described, you know, people just walk onto the property and they have an internal sense of taking a deep breath,
Right.
Coming back home to themselves.
Right.
Making deeper connections. Maybe learning something. Maybe they're there to take a class like organic gardening. Or maybe they're there to experience, for example, another program we have is called the Grailville Day of Quiet. We usually offer about 4 of those per year. It's loosely structured so that people can largely be on their own and just experience the day at Grailville in a sacred surrounding.
Is that sort of like a walking meditation day?
There can be walking meditation. It depends somewhat on the weather, what's available. But it's really a time for people to kind of come together in the morning, but then spend quiet time on their own, come back together at lunchtime. Some loosely structured programming opportunities might be available for them to take advantage of if they'd like to, or maybe just spend the day in quiet if they'd like to. So those type of programs, all the way through a more structured program, for example, our annual Amasami Zen Retreat. Mm. Amasami is an amazing man who is originally from, I believe, Bangladesh, and he is both a Roman Catholic Jesuit priest, but also a fully trained Zen Buddhism master.
So he brings
together the spiritual traditions of the East and the West, and he offers and has been offering at Grailville, I believe this will be the 18th year. We are currently the only location in North America that he comes to offer this particular workshop or this retreat, and people have the opportunity to come for just the weekend or perhaps for the whole week long to have an actual Zen retreat at Grailville. So we offer a bunch of different type of programs that are, on the microcosm level, a chance for individual people to experience and to deepen on a personal level. But it's very much Grailville's commitment to also bring people's awareness to the fact that there's another step that we can take.
Right.
You've made a connection here deeper with yourself. We can also give you some opportunities to connect with your community or to connect with your whole region, perhaps, or even on a worldwide level to learn more information about this. I remember when Becky came back from the IGA, one of the most touching things that she talked about was, what is the experience like to look directly into the eyes of a Grail member from Papua New Guinea and hear this woman tell her story about what it's like to have her personal rainforest cut down around her. So that the experience that we have really is an experience. It's more than book learning. It's more than reading a newspaper report about these things and say, oh, that's really terrible. Let me wring my hands a little bit. And instead, what would it be like to make a personal connection deep within each person, but then also to make that connection with people and to discover that there are things we can do about it as a community and to further those things. So really, Grailville is kind of twofold. One is that individual opportunity, but the other is very much about taking the next step, bringing it to the world, because transformation of the world is our mission statement.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, you guys could use my logo as above, so below, as within, so without. Mm-hmm. Because it happens out there as a reflection of what's happening in here. And we have to make that inner transformation, or we don't really have much to offer in the way of transforming the outer world.
And I think maybe in kind of, I don't know if I would say Grail language, but maybe a way of saying that would be that it needs to be grounded in a spiritual place.
Yes.
So yes, it might be about organic growing practices, but if you come to a Grailville garden volunteer workshop, you're going to experience something a little bit more than just information about organic growing practices. There's going to be something that touches your spirit.
Right.
Or you're going to hear something that relates to social justice issues. Or you're going to see an artistic sense of what organic gardening can be about. So it's going to be a little broader than just the specific information.
Right. Well, I mean, to me, that is what spirituality is. It's the personal in the interaction with microcosm. Micro.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the inward and how it connects with the outward, and recognizing really that it's all one energy. That's my personal belief, is that, and thank God quantum physics finally backed up what I believe, that there's one energy in the whole universe, and it's part of all of us, and all of us are part of it. And I think the more we do this, and I think women, it's easier for women in general to do this, because it's sort of, we feel things deeply like that. And so it makes sense to me that women are kind of in charge of, okay, how do we bring this inner knowing into an outer world in a way that's actually pragmatic, that's actually beneficial? Not, you know, in the sky pie metaphor. It's like, not all of the woo-woo, this just feels good. I mean, that's great, but How do you actually make it grow corn, as my granny used to say? And it sounds like that's what you guys are doing at Grailville, is you have this very broad, very deep mission statement that you then make very practical.
Yes, it's been, you know, a number of different incarnations over history, over various decades.
I can imagine.
And right now, we're also facing, wondering, you know, what's the world going to be like 30 years from now? And what is our role? What is our place in creating the future of this region?
Right.
Because at this point, you know, the Grail is owner, keeper, and sacred trust of this hunk of land. And we really are holding it in trust for the next generation. So how do we want to use it? How can we use it? And some of our assumptions, I mean, we're using it as a spiritual place, offering it as a spiritual place by running our own programs and encouraging folks of all kinds to come and bring their own program and transform their own group, you know, in our place. And we really want people to use it for that purpose. You know, we're a huge amount of acres, so I really see that we're going to need to be a source of local food in the next hunk of time.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we're needing to find more people who know and want to work with us on doing that.
Uh-huh.
I think that we really are beginning to understand more and more the need to support local economies,
right.
that's part of the solution, building community, supporting local economies, spending your money here, that helps all of us,
right.
and spiritually being grounded in how we do all of that and how we think about it. Maybe it's also helpful to say I'm also an artist, and I came to Grailville originally, you know, 35 years ago as a resident artist right out of college. And one of the things I noticed when I first came to the property was that there was a very simple aesthetic, a simplicity about the place that really spoke to me as an artist, and as it's sort of almost a Shaker style, that it supports a lot of spiritual work. And for example, we have 14 buildings probably on the property. Most of them are clustered sort of around what we call the hub, and most of them are repurposed buildings. You know, there's only one that was brand new, and that was 1961. You know, so they're all repurposed or recycled buildings. So we're trying to always find what's the current incarnation of how we use things and what is going to be of use to people.
Right.
And so, you know, we're trying to figure out also, are there kind of more renovations that we can do to those buildings yet another time? How can we be more focused on renewable energy, having more sustainable practices? We have, you know, a deep commitment to the ecological sustainability across the board.
Right.
I mean, for example, we have constructed wetlands on our property that we put in 2001, which was one of the very first constructed wetlands for wastewater treatment that was approved by the EPA in Ohio.
Wow, that is impressive.
Yes. So, you know, we have a rainwater catchment system that we use off of our dining room to water our kitchen garden, and, you know, we can see that in the future is going to be needing all kinds of renewable energy, and figure out how we can be more partners in with other people, learning how to do renovations that are sustainable, how to build renewable energy into what's happening. That's part of how we're going to save the planet. And we'd all love to be a sample and a training center for how to do that, and we're learning too. But it's got to be part of the solution long-term for all of us.
Right. Well, you know, I can really hear how it may be, you know, a place where you work, but I can really hear that for both of you, it is your own spiritual practice being there, because it opens you to what is and gives you a way to find a way into expressing who you really are. So it's like Grailville is your own sort of personal spiritual path, as well as a much larger thing. I have to take a couple of station things happening right here. It is 2:01 on Wednesday, July the 11th, I believe, and you are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, your favorite listener-supported radio station. For those of us just joining us, I am Reverend Louisa Dyer, and it's 88.3, of course, on your FM dial, and also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. Our show is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And today I'm really excited to be talking with two beautiful women from Grailville, which is a spiritual retreat center in Loveland, really close to Cincinnati, if anybody didn't know that, other than me. And we are talking about what's available there and how people can use it. We're talking about it in a very personal sense, but we're also talking about it in a global sense, which is sort of what I try to do on this program every week, is talk about how it's up to us to do the shift inside of us so that we're even aware of the shifts that have to be made externally. So we want to get back to this interview with Becky, and who is the director at Grailville, Becky Hill, and Nina Neighborhouse, who is, I didn't quite understand that, the coordinator of the spiritual retreat or the events, or?
My job is as the retreat center manager or the guest services manager.
There you go.
And that means that I have an opportunity to interface with all of our guests and to make sure that Grailville has in place what they need in order to host their program. So I work with another employee, Dale Marie, and we take reservations, and then we make sure that your group has what you need to put on your program. Do you need to rent an overnight building, just a meeting building? Do you need meals? All that sort of stuff. And so I'm kind of like an operations person, but I also get the joy of interfacing with guests, and because my office is located in the Welcome Center, I also get the joy of meeting people as they come to Grailville for the first time.
Right.
Sometimes people just come in and they say, wow, I've heard about this place, but I never had an opportunity to come here. Today was the day. I was driving by. Tell me more about it. And then we just love to say, you picked a great day, because we have so much to offer to the public. There are, of course, we've been talking about some opportunities for people to get involved in some of these things that we're working on, but also we do offer the chance for people to come out and take a walk. We have 300 acres. We've got walking trails through our woods. We have one of the largest outdoor labyrinths for walking meditation in this part of the country.
Now, that's what I want to hear about.
Yeah, which is really beautiful.
I love labyrinths. And I hear that Becky was actually part of putting that together 20-something years ago. And that, I want to hear a little bit about that. For anybody who doesn't know what a labyrinth is, I'm going to let these ladies tell you, since they have one on their property and they can probably tell you all about it. All I will say about it is I love them. They're powerful. And everyone I've ever walked has been such a different experience than every other one I've ever walked. So I would love to hear about, first tell people what the heck is a labyrinth,
right,
and why would you walk it? And then tell us about yours.
Sure. Well, a labyrinth is a unicursal pattern. Unicursal means there's only one path. And the way I like to describe it is, most people know what a maze is. The difference is that a maze, the purpose of a maze is to get you lost. And the purpose of a labyrinth is to find your center.
I love that.
Yeah. So it has one path. You start at the beginning of the path, and you follow that path as it winds around, and it takes you to the center. And then you use the same path to reverse, and that will take you to the out. Our large outdoor labyrinth is mowed into the grass, and that one is a Cretan-style labyrinth, meaning that that particular version of the pattern was found on the Isle of Crete.
Right.
We have another labyrinth that people can make a reservation for, that is painted onto canvas and is rolled out on the floor in our oratory building, which is our sacred space.
How big is that?
It's pretty big. That one is, the pattern is from the floor of Chartres Cathedral. It's the same pattern found at the floor of Chartres Cathedral. So it's a little different, but from the Cretan one, but they're both unicursal. You both start at the beginning, you come to the center, and then you reverse back out. The labyrinth is an ancient symbol of the feminine, as is the Grail cup.
Right.
And that's why the Grail movement was named the Grail, because of that sacred feminine symbol.
Right.
So we offer sometimes some labyrinth programs, and we also encourage, when groups rent our space, we always tell them about the labyrinth and say, you know, if you have time within your program, it would be great if you wanted to build in time so that your participants can walk the labyrinth. It's a very special experience, and we have a lovely handout in our Welcome Center that we can give people so that they can get a little more information about a labyrinth and how it works, and walk the pattern themselves. And so that's just another way that people might visit. People might come just to take a walk, walk the labyrinth, visit our gift shop. We feature fair trade items from all over the world through 10,000 villages.
Wow.
As well as art that was made by Grail members that's for sale, beautiful sculptures and figurines, and some very specifically chosen books that have to do with different things with our programs and so forth. So it's kind of a best kept secret of Loveland because a lot of people don't know how great our gift shop is. And
again, I had a friend ask me when I told her I was doing this. She said, "Do they still have a bookshop?" I used to go up to Grailville just to see their bookshop.
Yeah, it used to be a bookstore.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com.
Right.
We couldn't really compete with the books. So we switched over to the Fair Trade Gifts. And,
great.
You know, with that focus and the Grail's focus on social justice issues, it's a really great way for people to learn a little bit more. If you're looking for a gift, to see the tag. Oh, this was made in Burkina Faso. I wonder where that is. I wonder what they do there, you know. So.
Right.
So that's a really great opportunity.
So do you have sort of a cooperative exchange between you and all the other Grail centers that are in different countries in terms of some of the arts and crafts and that kind of stuff? Or is it more along the lines of what I think of when I think of fair trade?
The fair trade items that we carry really are through the 10,000 Villages Company.
Right.
And that company is one that many people are familiar with. They they work directly with the artisans in different countries to make sure that they get a fair wage for their handicrafts.
Right.
So that's the company that we use to get our fair trade items. Every once in a while, through a special circumstance, we'll be able to offer for sale in the store something that was made by Grail members or by a group of women who are in a project run by Grail members in a different country. But that's a little bit less common.
Right.
Really, most of the fair trade is through 10,000 Villages.
Right.
But so when people come out to the property, you know, that's one way, is just people stopping by to visit. But I think really the main way that people find out about Grailville is that they're a member of a group who chooses Grailville as their venue. And so they've signed up for a retreat. They've never been to Grailville before, and they're there to go to, it might be a church retreat. It might be a staff meeting for their company.
Uh-huh.
It could be a development seminar of some kind where Grailville is the venue. And suddenly they find themselves in this beautiful place. And once their program is over, they find themselves wanting more and realizing this wasn't that far away. You know, I don't have to be part of a program to visit the property. And we host large groups, small groups, we can sleep up to 75 people.
Really?
Yeah, it's really not a small place, you know. And we can seat up to just over 100 in our dining room. And so we do host all kinds of different groups. And what we have been told by the participants and by the group leaders is that because they chose Grailville as their venue, something synergistic happened that they weren't expecting in their retreat that made it much better, much different than anything they could have planned or hoped for. And, you know, I would almost sound like I was tooting our horn too much if I hadn't heard this so many times from people.
And what do you think that is?
I really believe that the presence of the Grail on the property over so many years with a deep intentionality of depth and spirituality is something that resonates.
Yep.
And it continues. And it also continues with the people who work there.
Right.
Because for us, it's not just a job. And because the Grail mission statement is about integrating the pieces of our lives, then that shows on the property.
So you're talking about a very specific vibration that lives there. And that when people come there...
Maybe we are. I don't know.
To me, you are.
Okay.
You're talking about... I just did the show last week on Bruce Lipton's Biology of Belief. And from the cellular level all the way up to the 50 trillion cells that make up a human being's body, everything in existence has its own particular vibration. And so all the spiritual teachers, you know, talk about raising your vibration, raising your consciousness. And from a very scientific point of view, we now know that everything has a particular vibration. And some of those are low and not fun and detrimental. And some of those are really high and actually healthy and actually inspiring. And what you're describing to me is this space, because of the intention, because of the energy that's been brought to it and the energy that has come out from it, it is a sacred space and has been for a very long time. And so there is a particular vibration that is there that isn't anywhere else. And so, of course, when people come, whatever it is in them that can harmonize with that vibration, it's going to have a synergistic reaction. It's going to be quite an amazing.
And whether a person is kind of thinking about it on that level or conscious of it at that level or not,
right.
What they will notice is that when they walk into that meeting room, the last time their group had chosen a hotel conference room,
right.
They walk in, it's sterile. It's a box.
Right.
They walk into our meeting room, they're going to see a beautiful hardwood floor.
Uh-huh.
They're going to see gorgeous natural light with a view out over the pasture.
Right.
They're going to see nooks with art in it. And they're going to, whether they're thinking of it in the way that you describe with the vibrational energy or not, what they're going to notice is that care has been taken,
yes.
with the aesthetic, and that there is there's something different about hosting your event when it has been thought of.
Yeah.
Then it's just a meeting, right? All we need is a room, right? And maybe a few tables, a few chairs, and maybe a microphone system. Isn't that all we need?
Right.
And then we find out as human beings that that's not true.
Right.
We need a lot more than that,
right.
You
we,
know?
Mm-hmm.
And we're back to awakening the dreamer. I mean, this idea that we need more than that, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe if we wake up from the trance that it's all about these material things,
right.
Maybe we have a chance here.
We need nurturing. We need care.
Yeah.
We need that, or we don't even feel alive, much less energized and inspired. Mm-hmm. And so what you're saying is that Grailville offers this very beautiful high vibrational, I would say, place to have almost any kind of event, from a wedding to a business meeting.
It's maybe interesting to notice the wide variety of groups that are attracted to using Grailville, and I think they are attracted to us, partly because of what they're doing and what they're trying to accomplish. So there might be spiritual groups, religious groups, church groups that want to do retreats of some kind. It could be civic groups, environmental groups, like, for example, the Sierra Club has come for years to Grailville. Maybe it's arts or cultural events. You know, Muse Choir will come and rehearse or give a performance.
How about weddings? I had someone ask me the other day about, did I know where was a good place to get married?
Well, we do host weddings, and we've got.
In fact, I was married there, and I highly recommend it. And that was 33 years ago. So, but you know more about how people are using Grailville for weddings now, and say a little bit about the Oratory as such a special place for a wedding.
It really is. The Oratory is another one of our repurposed buildings. It was originally built as a barn, and you can still meet some of the older Grail members today who will talk about stacking hay bales in there and the cows downstairs and so forth. But it was repurposed and redesigned in 1961 by a gentleman named William Schickel. And his wife, Mary, was a lifelong Grail member. She had come to Grailville as a young woman. And then she and Bill married and decided to locate their family right down the street from Grailville for the purpose of being close to Grailville. And at that time, there were a number of families that had chosen to do that and to gather around Grailville because of the spiritual depth. That was at a point in time in the Catholic Church when there was also the rural life movement going on.
Right.
And so those things kind of informed each other, you might say. And so William Schickel was chosen to be the designer to take it from being a working barn into a sacred worship space. And this was his first major commission. And he went on to many, many other big things. He was very well known nationally and even internationally. He, for example, was the person who, when they needed to renovate the chapel down at Gethsemane where Thomas Merton lived, he was the designer who created that chapel design and various other things that we could mention. He was also a sculptor and a painter, and there's an absolutely beautiful book about his work that I've seen for sale in some other museums around town, but we also have it for sale in the Grailville store. So the Oratory is a very wonderful expression of his design aesthetic. You can still see the structure of the barn structure. It has clear story windows above, so it's a lot of natural light. He designed a feature above the altar space that he calls the light well, which is a natural skylight, although it does have lighting also for the evening. And the building is fully lit interior for the evening, but during the day it's lovely to just have the natural light, a beautiful hardwood floor. And it's a truly remarkable building. And that building can actually seat up to 225, 250. So we've had large weddings in there or other types of ceremonies. We have a couple of other buildings that have a similar aesthetic. We have opportunities for outdoor weddings as well on the lawn. But I would also say that people need to keep in mind as they're looking for a wedding venue that because we are situated on a 300-acre farm and it is a rural feeling to some degree,
right,
and weddings are not a main focus of our retreat center business per se, that means it needs to be somebody who's interested in a rural and a little bit more of a casual,
right,
sense about things, just because these are the buildings that we offer. It's one of those things where if you're attracted to it, it's going to be great for you.
Right.
And if it's not quite what you're looking for, you're going to choose somewhere else anyway.
Right. So. You know, every single person I've ever married has wanted that kind of setting.
Mm-hmm.
I've never married anyone in a traditional, whatever you call it, church kind of venue. So I think there's actually a lot of people who are looking for something that feels normal, natural, organic, spiritual, mm-hmm, sacred.
Mm-hmm. And one of the nice things about it is because we do offer overnight space sometimes if you have out-of-town guests, depending on who else, booked that weekend, you know, your whole group can be there.
Right.
And stay there and be
right,
part of the experience beyond just the 2 hours of the event itself,
right,
or whatever it is. And depending on the size, you know, you might actually be able to have your reception in our dining room and,
right,
you know, with our food that is grown. A lot of it is locally grown. So.
Right. So this organic, I'm a big organic gardener and have been forever.
Oh, wonderful.
But what I wonder is, you were talking about this bumper crop thing, and I'm sorry, this is a totally personal question for myself. So I understand the shares thing, and I'm assuming it's too late to get in on that for this year?
I really don't know, actually, if they're still accepting members at this point. So the best thing to do would be to contact them through their website, which again is earthsharescsa.org.
Earthsharescsa.org.
Mm-hmm.
It might also be helpful just to say that was it last year Loveland started a farmer's market, and this year Greville has joined in as one of the vendors.
Oh.
So when we have surplus produce, we also can sell at the Loveland Farmer's Market in downtown Loveland.
Tuesday afternoons from 3 to 7.
Oh, that's good to know, because I'm always looking for organic produce somewhere without having to drive all the way down way far away from my house.
Mm-hmm.
Loveland is a lot closer to me.
Yeah.
So this bumper crop that you mentioned,
mm-hmm,
that is after the regular season that you can get organic produce, or is that during the season when you've sold all that your shares, people have taken all of their shares, then you have extra things ongoing?
Per week.
That's what I was trying to figure out.
Basically, you can think of it kind of this way, that we have a self-service produce hut. You drive up, and whatever is for sale will be listed on a separate list than what the members are going to pick up.
Super.
And sometimes there's plenty of extra stuff for sale, and sometimes there isn't. So on any given day when you come, you can only choose from the list of what's for sale to the public.
Right.
But then at that point, you just choose it, you weigh it yourself, you put the money in the jar. The only times that that produce hut is actually closed are the 2 times per week when the members come to actually get their own share for the week. And that would be Wednesday afternoons. It's going to be closed from somewhere around 3 in the afternoon or 2 in the afternoon until probably about 7. And then on Saturdays, it's closed from around, say, 10 in the morning till around 3 in the afternoon, because those are the 2 pickup times for the members. But other than that, please feel free.
So organic produce people, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays and Fridays, Grailville. And their website, again, is just grailville.org. And do you guys have a phone number and you like to be contacted that way, or just primarily through the website?
Phone is fine, actually. We're happy to answer questions. And the phone number is area code 513-683-2340.
We will be sure to give you that phone number again in a few minutes if you want to get a pencil and write that down along with the address, because I've actually thought about that a couple of times and wasn't sure if it was okay to call or whether everything just went through the website.
And actually, right now, we are in the process of redoing our website. So, another month from now, it'll be even more interactive, and you'll get even more information and have more opportunities than are currently available. So
wish us luck with that.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a while. Well, so I want to make sure I understand this and that everybody listening understands this. So Grailville is a place where you can schedule an event of just about any kind, it sounds like, Growlville is an event, is a place where events happen, that you go and that you pay to be part of these events. But Growlville is also a place where you can go, and it's free, to either walk in the woods, have some quiet time to yourself, walk the labyrinth. And so it's like really that big in terms of multipurpose.
It's definitely that big in terms of multipurpose, but I would like to say that we are a nonprofit.
Right.
And, you know, the current economy has not been kind to
yes.
nonprofits, and we absolutely welcome donations. We have a small donation basket in our little room, which is called the Coffee House. Sometimes people come for the day and walk the labyrinth, and they just want to stop in and get a cup of hot tea afterwards. And we just make, it's a small room. We don't make lattes or sell muffins, but it's just a room for people to kind of chill out, and it's a multi-purpose room for the staff as well. So it can be as simple as a, you know, dropping a dollar in the basket there just to say thank you and acknowledge that it takes some staff time to keep the labyrinth mowed.
Right.
It also takes upkeep on the tractor, and it takes gasoline to run the mower, and so forth. And if you want to take a walk in the woods, not only would we love for you to come and do that, bring your friend, take a walk, bring your dog, be responsible cleaning up after your dog also, but there are other ways to plug in afterwards to acknowledge that it takes all of us to keep this going,
right.
Whether that be by a money donation, which, of course, we always welcome. Thank you very much. But also there are ways to plug in and help us. We have a wonderful new staff member, Amy Tuttle, who has been working on trail revitalization. And that is some basic trail maintenance, but also because her specialty is in-place art, she has been working with people to create natural art exhibits that are meant to then go back to the earth over a certain period of time. So you might be walking on the trail, and suddenly you'll glance over and see color of, you know, maybe specially colored fabrics that are threaded through the leaves of the trees. And that would be one of her art installations. And so, you know, all of these things add to the specialness of experiencing Growlville. But again, because we are a nonprofit, and
right.
and when people rent from us to host their own events and programs, they usually comment to us, wow, your prices are really reasonable. They are, and that's partly because we have the opportunity to both ask for help, but also to acknowledge that it's a cooperative. It's a participation
right.
thing that we want to partner with the community. We want to hear from people, what do you need in this day and age? What can you offer some insight about what Growlville could be for you, and are you in a position to help us build that?
Right.
We're changing, we're growing all the time, and we are making all kinds of connections right now. It's a very exciting time.
It might be helpful, too, to say that we do newsletter twice a year.
Oh, great.
And people can just call up our phone number, 683-2340, and say they want to be on the mailing list, and they can be on our e-list or on our print newsletter list. And in it, we highlight all the complete set of programs that we're offering every 6 months. And so then you can get a wide variety of everything that we're offering, from our Good Earth, Good Eats programs to poetry and multi-arts retreat programs to this sustaining spirit programs. So there's a lot of different kinds of things, and it's helpful. You can see it on the website. But also when you sign up to be on the newsletter, then you will get all of our mailings and learn all kinds of opportunities
right.
that you might donate or become a volunteer. For example, we are on... we're having trail maintenance days 3 times. Actually, this coming Saturday is one of them. Saturday morning from 9 to 12, August the 4th also 9 to 12, or October 6th from 1 to 4. So people can just come, and Amy will work with you on helping just to maintain the trails. So that kind of a thing is, that kind of help is also welcome.
Right. You know, I think a lot of people, I know because it's been a passion of mine my whole life, and so I've talked to a lot of people about volunteering is something that I believe passionately in. And I know a lot of people who do. And I was wondering, first of all, I understand about nonprofits and have been involved with a number of them. And so when you're a nonprofit, how do you get your funding? And usually volunteers are one way that you don't need quite so much funding. And so I was really curious if there are volunteer opportunities. So thank you for saying that. So at least 3 times a season, you're saying that there are certain days where you can go and help her maintain the trails?
Well, right now we have a few designated trail maintenance days. Sometimes we'll have days designated for volunteers to help in the garden. We're working on more and getting more systemized ways to get for people to volunteer.
Right. And are those sorts of things listed on the website?
They will be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Though they're not right now yet, because
right.
that's one of the things we're working towards.
But that's something someone could call and find out about.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So for all of you who have just gone and got your pen and paper, we are going to give Grelville's phone number again, because I can't tell you how many people have called me and said, look, I am not on a computer. Give me a phone number. Believe
sure.
that or not.
Yeah.
So we are going to have the phone number one more time for Grelville is?
Area code 513-683-2340.
Perfect. So if you want to find out about volunteer opportunities, or if you want to just find out about all the wonderful things they've got going on, or hear this, get on their mailing list for this newsletter, you can either have that as an e-thing online where you're not getting the paper product, or it looks like I'm looking at a paper version of it right here, so you can sign up and actually have it mailed to you, either one. But it looks like it's pretty full of lots of things going on. And my understanding is that you guys are so organized that you're doing like 6 months ahead of time. You have your things all worked out.
Well, this particular newsletter just came out, and it's for July through December. And hopefully, by the beginning of December, we will have January through June ready for you.
Well, see, that's pretty amazing. But so that gives you plenty of time to plan.
We also do a monthly update of just what's coming up the next month.
Great.
So that's also handier than
right.
to get a little bit on
right.
a regular basis the next chunk of things that are available.
Right.
But one thing I would say is that we're very responsible about the emails. We don't flood people's inbox. We really
yeah,
do keep
good.
It to one per month that announces the programs for that month. Unless
right.
there's something unusual happening,
right.
and there might be one extra message in a month about that, but we're very responsible, so I just want to assure anyone who wants to sign up for the e-newsletter, we're not going to flood your inbox.
That's reassuring.
Yeah.
So let me make sure, because I'm assuming, since I am new to Cincinnati, that there are probably a whole lot of people who are new to Cincinnati, and when you say Loveland, they're like, yeah, uh-huh, where is that? So let's just say, relative to Cincinnati, where is this place, this beautiful, wonderful, sacred place called Grelville?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it exactly?
We are almost exactly a half a mile from downtown Loveland. And if you went from downtown Cincinnati, you would take Interstate 71 north
mm-hmm.
out to the 275 circle.
Yes.
And then you would just go two exits to the east, and we're about 10 minutes after you get off the exit there.
So if I'm coming up, because I live in Milford, and so we're going to, let's say we're coming from Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
and we're coming up 275
mm-hmm.
that way,
right.
we would go to the Loveland exit.
Actually, at that point, it's called the Loveland Indian Hill exit.
Uh-huh. And we're only 3 miles from the Beltway.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would basically go left or right if I'm coming from the south?
Left.
Left.
Left off the exit.
And then
yeah.
it's clearly marked how to get there?
Well, left, but then you would be heading east.
Mm.
So.
Okay, got
Actually,
it.
We have excellent directions on our website.
Great.
And the thing that I think is most helpful for people who know Loveland at least a little bit, most people know that Loveland Avenue crosses over the Little Miami River.
Uh-huh.
It goes through the heart of downtown Loveland where the Loveland bike trail crosses the road. And then there's State Route 48, which crosses over. We are actually on that same road. Loveland Avenue becomes O'Bannonville Road, which is our road, right at our property line.
Uh-huh.
So people get confused because they think I've never heard of O'Bannonville Road, but really it's the same road. It's Loveland Avenue that goes through the heart
oh,
of downtown Loveland.
That is really good to know.
Yeah.
For people who are Googling and
mm-hmm.
going, what?
Yeah. And
sometimes, you know, MapQuest does get confused.
Yeah.
So take our word for it.
The directions on our website will
are
lead
better.
You, and not only will they help you find the property, but they will lead you right to the door of the Welcome Center.
Super.
So again, grailville.org, and you look for the directions page, and those directions will bring you right to the Welcome Center.
Wonderful. Well, I can't wait to get out there. I have been saying I've not lived here very long, and I found out about Grelville probably about 3 weeks after I got here, because I'm asking everybody, okay, like, where's the spiritual stuff happening? And, like, five different people said, well, you know, there's Grelville. But they couldn't tell me a lot about what it really was. And so I've been, and then I went to your website and saw the labyrinth and was like, okay, I'm there. But I still haven't gotten there yet. So I'm looking forward to the first cool day. And I just want to tell people, because I know a lot of people who listen to this show really are into spirituality. And so I just want to say one thing about Walking a Labyrinth. For those of you who have maybe never heard of it or have heard of it but have never done it, Walking a Labyrinth can be an amazing experience. And Nina said before, I forget what fancy word she used, which means there's only one path. You walk in that path to the center, and then you walk out again. That sounds really different than it usually is. Because what you're doing as you're walking in that path is you're really walking into the center of your own self. And if you're really open to that and you do that, it is amazing what can happen and what you can discover. And numerous times walking a labyrinth, I have literally felt like a different person when I got to the center than I was when I started that walk, even though it was only, what, 5 minutes ago or 20 minutes at the most? I mean...
Well, ours is rather large.
So it might be a 30-minute if I walked really slow?
No. Well, it's really a walking meditation. Sometimes people will approach it with a question.
Right.
And walk into the center and, you know, meditate on the way and pause in the middle and see what comes.
Right.
And often there will be answers.
Yes. That's my experience with labyrinths. It is a walking meditation. It is a way to be just very simply sacred with yourself.
Do we have time for Becky to tell you the story of the mowing of the labyrinth?
We can do that. If you can do that in like 2 minutes, I would love to hear it.
Well, one thing I can say is that when I... At the time, I had just gone to New Harmony, Indiana to have artwork as part of the Global Ethic Expo, and I had walked the labyrinth there. I came home, and some interns at Grailville had the whole thing staked out in the field, which is probably an acre, and they were wanted to mow it with this big tractor, and I said, let's do it with my riding mower, and I offered to do it, and we did it right then, that evening, as the sun was setting and the full moon was rising, and it was quite an amazing experience to mow it the first time with those women and my two sons with our tractor.
Wow. And so your tractor would actually make those...
We mowed it into the field.
Wow.
And have mowed it since for at least 15 years.
So that really brings me to my next question that I have to have answered. And that is, first of all, it's no longer particularly Catholic. It's more interfaith, interdimensional.
Yes. Some women are absolutely Catholic. But the point is that whatever your spiritual path is welcome.
Okay, great. The other one is that you talked about people moving there to be like a Grail woman, to be mm-hmm. part of. Can people still join and become Grail women?
Absolutely. I'm a fairly newly joined Grail member myself.
Grail member, that's yes. what you call it.
And I live down the street and have for at least a dozen years.
Uh-huh.
And married the son of one of those Grail members who moved there in the 50s.
So it's sort of been a huge part of your life.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So we were involved earlier and then weren't for a while, Becky, and then are back involved again, or you've always been involved just in various roles?
Oh, not always. I had three kids in the middle and didn't work there during a lot of that time.
Right.
But I worked there. I've been working there now since, 2005? And have been a neighbor for a long, in and out for most of that time.
Right. And so what is it when you join, when you become a Grail member? What does that mean, and what does that involve?
Well, it turns out that at this point in time, the National Office for the Grail in the United States is also located at Grailville.
Uh-huh.
And you can access their website through our website. So
okay.
If people want to go to grailville.org, they will also find a link to the Grail National website. In short, I can say that at this point in time, the membership process involves matching you up with a Grail woman who can be your mentor to kind of have a chance for you to get your questions answered and to learn more about it. But the main way that most women become Grail members is that they somehow find that they're attracted to it.
Right.
They're attracted to the place, they're attracted to the women, and they just find themselves wanting to know more. And sometimes for women, that process might take 15 or 20 years.
Really?
And they decide it's time to join. For other women, it might be a much shorter period of time, and it really is very, very much an individual process. But there are some key pieces of information that the Grail would like each woman to have who's thinking of joining. So there is a little bit of a formalized process at this point, just so people can make sure they know what they're right. joining and so forth. And
there's a fair amount of information people need to understand, you know, need to meet other members, need to often have a mentor mm-hmm. who will go through the information, answer your questions, invite you to regional meetings of the group. And then over time, and through having national and local experiences, often it's discerned, you know, sometimes in a year, sometimes longer, you know, whether this is a life commitment that resonates with the commitments I've already made personally for myself. And so it's yes, it fits.
That was the piece I wanted to hear, actually, that it is a commitment.
Yes.
I just want to thank you both so much for being here. This has been wonderful. And now I really have to get to Grailville. Because it is so exciting to me personally, but also to my spirit and my soul, to actually know that there are committed groups, and I can talk to them and I can go there and see what they're doing, that are putting spirituality and sustainability, like, I'm a lot Native American, and so what you're doing there has a lot to do with what my ancestors would say. You are living in a way that is honoring and taking care of not just yourselves, but the next seven generations. And it almost always brings tears to my eyes because that's what's needed. And it sounds like that's a lot of the philosophy of the Grail, is that, yeah, you got to do it personally, but boy, is there so much more to do. And that's the commitment. It is a personal one, but unless you know how to take that and live it, unless you know how to put that into action in some way.
And to always ground that from a deeply spiritual place.
Exactly. And so I'm just really excited to know that Grailville is just literally up the road.
Absolutely. That's right.
And I want to thank you both so much. And is there any last words either of you would like to say before we sign off with the interview here?
I just want to remind people again that we do have these wonderful programs coming up. You can access our entire program guide from now until the end of this calendar year at our website, grailville.org, and it will have information there about how to sign up for any particular program that Grailville is offering. And in addition, you may find that you'll end up at Grailville by being a member of a group that has chosen Grailville as a venue.
Right.
And for those, we don't handle the reservations. They will handle the reservations through their own group leaders.
Right.
But whether you're here for our programs, for someone else's program, or just to stop by, we would really love to meet you. We'd love to welcome you to the property, and please come on out Monday through Saturday. Our Welcome Center is closed on Sundays.
Okay. One final question. Are there ongoing groups happening that people can join if they feel resonant with that or called to that?
I'll just mention a few very briefly. There's a Tuesday evening meditation group called the Being Peace Sangha, and that's a meditation group in the tradition of Thich Nhat Hanh.
Mm-hmm.
It meets on Tuesday evenings in the warm weather in the Oratory Building that I mentioned earlier, and in the colder weather we switch to a smaller building that's easier to heat.
Right.
And so that's every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Another group is called the Mystics Book Study Group. That meets once a month. And then it seems like there was one other that I wanted to mention, but it's escaping me now. And so if anyone would like information about any of those groups, please do feel free to call the Grailville phone number, 513-683-2340, and we'd be happy to give you more information about that.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Could I also say that because the National Grail is office is in Grail also, they have a separate phone number. If women are especially interested in the Grail, they may definitely call that number. It's 513-683-5750.
Let's have that number one more time. This is the National Grail office, because it actually is here at Grailville in Loveland.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So let's have that number again, please.
513-683-5750.
Thank you so much. Thank both of you so much.
This was really
Thank
a lot of fun,
you.
Lisa. Thank you.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. So I'm going to put some more Faith Rivera on, and you guys can listen to some wonderful music while I say goodbye to these ladies. And I will see you back here in just a moment, so I hope you enjoy.
Splashing in puddles of thankfulness for others.